Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're just starting an amazing series of studies, preparation for the end time. Our topic today, Daniel and the end time. You see, Derek, didn't Daniel live in the 6th century BC? What does that have to do with the end time? The stories of Daniel will help us prepare for the coming of Jesus. So we're glad you're with us, and I know you're going to be blessed. Blessed by the first study?
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. And by the way, if you missed one of the first study we had on this series, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can download the theme song while you're there and the outline, which more and more people are using to lead interactive Bible studies around the world. Here's just a few emails from some of our Hope Sabbath School members. Arnold writes from Oregon. Anybody been to Oregon? It's in the United States of America. He says, I grew up in a small church where youth classes were not available. I would sit in the adult class. In that class was an elderly lady who seemed to know her Bible well. She would suggest to the teacher, give us a thought. That was a way of saying, don't make nonsense, right? Give us a thought. I don't know why I remembered that, except she would say that quite often. I listen to Hope Sabbath School every Friday evening. Very often, your team members voice their impressions and thoughts about a text in the Bible. This gives listeners additional understanding regarding the lesson. To me, this is a blessing, writes Arnold. Keep it up, team. Blessings from Oregon.
Amen.
So I guess what he's saying is, if you speak up, say something sensible, right? Give us a thought. And we'll try to do that. Well, Lucy writes, Lucy, thanks for writing from Kenya. Oh, who do we have from Kenya here? Lisa and Eric. Okay, I hope they got that on camera when you were waving. Lucy writes, she says, I recently discovered Hope Sabbath School. Since then, I have not missed a single program. Every night it comes on the air. I enjoy the Bible teaching, the scripture songs, and marvel at the depth of knowledge displayed by the participants. I thank God for the way you conduct and lead the discussions because I feel nourished by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's so awesome. Thank you for the good work as you bless us in these studies. To all those of you who participate, may God bless you always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Lucy, thanks for writing to us from Kenya. You got two of your compatriots here, part of the team today. We're glad you wrote to us. Carol writes from Australia. Now, Travis, I know you've been to Australia. Anyone else been to Australia? Oh, Eric, too, and I've been to Australia. And this is from Carol. She says, your study is such a blessing to me. I watch it every day.
Amen.
So we do have daily hope, right, which is the repackaging of our series into a daily Bible study. I have been raised in a denominational church, but I've learned so much more from your in-depth study of the Word of God.
Amen.
It's a joy to hear your lively and heartfelt sharing. But what I wanted to share also is that just being on television, you offer a wonderful alternative to commercial television.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And I was filled with hope recently. Hear this testimony. By the way, we overcome the enemy. How? By the word of our testimony, right? She said, I was so filled with hope recently when my adult son came over for a meal and Hope Sabbath School was on in the background. My son has been walking in the wilderness for many years. He drifted away from the Lord, but he was clearly drawn to the Hope Sabbath School program. Even though he's not yet acknowledged Jesus as Lord, he was moved to say how honorable the team was and that God's character was shining forth.
Wow.
Lord.
That's awesome.
I just want to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because we're not that great, are we? No. That's a Holy Spirit work. Your authentic faith and joy in the Lord is contagious. Praise God for your living witness. God bless you, every one of you from Australia. Well, thanks for writing, Carol. Was that encouraging?
Yes.
Yes. We should remember to pray for Carol's son. You know, God specializes in rescuing people from the wilderness, doesn't he?
Amen.
Well, I just have a note here from a donor. I just want to thank you. I won't give the name, but it's from Pennsylvania. Apparently, this person was sending donations anonymously, just putting money in an envelope and sending it because she was so blessed by Hope Sabbath School. This time, though, she wrote a note. She said, "I'd like to thank you for the wonderful programs. I know I keep telling you these programs are a blessing. I keep learning more about the Bible, and Hope Sabbath School is the best. God is sure helping you to spread the word. Take care, and may God bless all of you for your work, the work that you do." Amen. Amen. Thank you for writing to us. You know, it's a small gift, but every gift makes a difference, doesn't it? Yes. And we're part of the kingdom work when we participate. One last note. I love this. This is from Krzysztof. That's Christopher in Polish. Krzysztof. He says, "I live in Poland. 5 years ago, I entered an Adventist church for the first time. 4 years ago, I was baptized and confessed Jesus as my Lord.
Yes.
For the past 2 years, I've been teaching a Sabbath school class. Isn't it wonderful?" I think so. "Your outlines are very useful to me. May God bless your television ministry." One more thing, Krzysztof writes, "I'm 66. That means it's never too late for God."
Amen.
Isn't that powerful? Well, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And yes, God's changing lives all around the world. And you can even start teaching a class. Download the outline. What we do in our local Hope Sabbath School, we make an outline for everybody so we can all follow along and see God work in miraculous ways.
Amen.
Well, right now, before we get into Daniel and the end time, we want to study a song. I don't know what the tune will be when we stand before the throne, but the words are in Revelation 15. "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints." If you haven't learned it yet, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. Download the MP3 audio file. Download the sheet music. Start singing. Some of you will sing a lot better than we do. So, in fact, sing with us now as we praise our God together.
Amen.
Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? Who shall not fear you, O Lord, for you alone are holy? Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. All nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just are your ways,
Amen?
Amen.
What a powerful word that is. And we're going to learn lessons from the prophet Daniel, actually from his life today, that will help us as we prepare for the end time. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how we long to stand before your throne and sing that song. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Until that day, we prepare. And I pray that as we study about Daniel and the end time, that we would learn valuable lessons, not only for our lives, but to bless the lives of those around us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's guidance. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 I don't know if you've read through the Bible, but when I read through the Old Testament, I'm always happy when I get to Daniel, because there's some powerful stories there that maybe we learned as children, but there's deeper lessons as we think about not only the prophecies of the end time, but being ready for the end time. So we're going to begin in Daniel chapter 1. You know, Daniel was taken captive in about 605 B.C. So most of his ministry is in what we would call the 6th century B.C. And such a man of integrity, you may remember, that the only problem they could find with him was that he was so devoted to his God.
Amen. Yeah,
he was dedicated to the creator of heaven and earth. Amen. But we're going to learn some lessons from his life. And Stephanie, I wonder if you'd start our study today in Daniel chapter 1, the first 8 verses. And as Stephanie is reading, what was the important decision that Daniel made, and what does that have to do with preparing for the end time? Okay?
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
Lisa, what's the important decision he makes? He's a prisoner of war. Mm-hmm. He's getting sent to university rather than being in a rock quarry or killed. But what's the decision that he makes right at the beginning of this narrative?
Daniel recognizes that he was created by God, so his body belonged to God, and he did not want anything in that body that was against what God wanted for him, which is the best diet, which is not what the king was offering him.
Okay, so the presenting issue is the diet.
Right.
The broader principle is, Nicole?
Complete trust in God.
Complete trust in God, because what might the response have been of the chief of the eunuchs?
Denied.
Too bad.
Either denied or
killed.
Killed, right. How dare you, right? However you say that in their Babylonian language, right? How dare you, you know? You should be happy to be alive. So the presenting issue is not wanting to defile his body with unclean foods and drinks that were not appropriate. The bigger issue, will I trust fully
in God,
in the Creator God? So what's the lesson for end time? Well, hold on to that because we're going to keep reading the story. And Alyssa, would you keep reading verses 9 through 14? We're in Daniel chapter 1.
Yep. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days.
Now, Nicole, how did Daniel know that in 10 days, I mean, is it really possible that in 10 days they could really be looking that much better than the other prisoners of war who had been brought to the University of Babylon? What do you think? Is it possible in 10 days?
Well, if God is doing it, it's possible in an hour. But yes, but he trusted that God is going to do what he can do. Yeah. And the 10 days was nothing for God to do it in.
Okay, so he could have said, give us 2 years, they're not going to go for that, right? Yeah. It's a trust issue too, isn't it? I mean, 10 days is a fairly short amount of time, though I suppose you could get pretty sick on the wrong kind of food in a matter of hours or days. But there was a clue back in verse 9. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. What did you notice there in verse 9?
That God brought favor.
Jason?
God had brought Daniel to have favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. So there was already some kind of relationship there that was positive.
Yeah.
So he says, God, I'm going to keep trusting you. How much time should I ask for? You know, there are stories like Nehemiah when he's in a situation where he's got to make an important decision. And it says he prayed. Good idea?
Yeah.
Very good idea.
I imagine Daniel going, okay, God, how much time do I ask for? Yes. And you're right. God could have said, do you want a few hours or, well, let's make this at least logical. Yeah. 10 days. Mm-hmm. And that could give a clear indication. By the way, what's the chief of eunuchs saying about this?
You're putting me at risk.
You're putting me at risk, that's right.
Don't let my head get cut off.
So the fact that they've been building trust and a relationship was very important at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Ray?
Oh, it's kind of interesting to notice also there's a lesson for us here. You know, he tells them, I don't want you being pale or weak. And how did he's not telling them not to feed him. How did he get that idea that they would be pale and weak? You know, so there's that idea of what the world or everyone else is telling us is not good for us. If we eat this food, it'll be real good for us. And then he's not really understanding that. But Daniel, by sticking to the diet that he knows, he's tested and tried and proved, he knows he will be better. So not right. always what other people tell us is going to be best, it's the best for us.
Ashfinaz doesn't say, I've been studying about plant-based diets. Yeah. And, like, we don't need that kind of food. Yeah. But again, it's back to the trust issue. Mm-hmm. God, can we give this time? Can you do this? God says, I can do that, right? Yeah. God not only gave them better health, but I want you to look at verse 17. And then someone else, 18 through 20, there were some other gifts that were given. Nicole, would you read first verse 17?
Daniel 1, verse 17 from the New International Version says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Mm.
Mm. How many of them were given knowledge and understanding?
All of them.
But to one...
Daniel.
He's called to be a prophet. Mm-hmm. How old was he?
17.
Young.
He's a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. He's still in his teens. But he purposed in his heart that he would honor God in all things, trust God in all things. Is there a takeaway lesson from that?
Amen.
Verses 18 through 20, Travis, of the same chapter 1. We could spend a lot of time, but we've got several key stories here in Daniel.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now at the end of days, when the king had said that they shouldn't be brought in, the chief of eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all None was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all the realm.
That's amazing. Is that a hyperbole, like an exaggeration for effect? I mean, could you actually get 10 times the score? I don't know. But they were like, they were off the charts, right? That's kind of the, off the charts. You know, the curve just, you messed up the curve, right? Takeaway lesson. Satan says, you know, if you follow God, you're going to miss out on so much. You know, what's the lesson in this story, Jason?
You trust God and he will take care of your life, whether it's your mind or your body.
Mm-hmm. And? That's true. And?
He also wants you to excel in your career and to be promoted because, as we learn in this story, Daniel is put strategically in a position so he can be of influence for God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. So God is not only going to take care of me, he's going to honor you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That takes us on to Daniel chapter 2. I saw some patient hands. Yeah. Yes, Stephanie and Ray, I'll take those and we'll go on to chapter 2.
I don't want us to forget that he did have that valley before he got to this point.
Yes.
So he was a captive. So he could have looked at his circumstances and said, God's given up on me.
Yes.
But he trusted God in the midst of that and God exalted him.
And by the way, I don't think it's reading too much into the text when he says he was put under the care of the chief of eunuchs, mm-hmm. that he may have been castrated
right.
when he was taken there. Mm-hmm. There's no family like with Joseph and his children. Daniel, you know, he could have just said, you know, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Right? I give up.
Yeah.
But God had something much more in store for him, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Ray?
I was just going to say, it's also interesting to see God still wants to use people like Daniel to be in, you know, places of corporations. These mm-hmm. places are looking for people who are, you know, people of integrity, people that are, you know what they're doing, healthy, of knowledge and wisdom. And God can put certain people in those situations to be a blessing or a witness to CEOs or presidents, vice presidents, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a matter then of us being ready for the end time when Jesus comes, mm-hmm. but being useful to God now, right?
Yes. Yes.
Move us to chapter 2. We're going to summarize the first 13 verses. Someone knows the story. There's a crisis, Marcus, in Babylon. What's the crisis? Do you remember?
The crisis was of worship.
Before the worship, we're in chapter 2. The king has a dream. And what's the crisis?
Right. The dream was that the king had commanded the magicians and the astrologers to come before him and to show him that dream. But the dream was that that he would be cut into pieces, possibly.
Well, what's the problem?
He's had
a dream.
So the king had this dream, and he can't remember
can't
the
remember
dream.
Can't remember it.
Forgot the dream. And he wants to know, what was the dream? What is the interpretation? And if you don't,
yep.
Yep.
You're and, all dead. And they come and they say, well, you tell us the dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. Right?
Yeah.
And he says, I can't remember the dream. Yep. And they have an interesting comment. They say,
who's going to tell
nobody but the gods?
Nobody but the gods could do that.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. God saying, finally, they mentioned the name God, right? But not the Babylonian gods, because they already know that they can't do
it.
So Daniel comes into that situation. Christine, if you could read in Daniel chapter 2, we're looking at verses 14 through 18. You're right. It's actually a death decree. Mm-hmm. You don't tell me? By the way, they didn't even ask Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Mm-hmm. They just asked the senior leaders, the mm-hmm. statesmen. But they're all going to die. Yeah. Let's see how Daniel responds, Christine, starting in verse 14.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New International Version. Daniel chapter 2, verses 14 and 18. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon.
So I have a question for you. I mean, you've read other stories where you don't just walk into the presence of the king, right?
That's right.
How does he get in there? I mean, he's still a young man. We don't know quite how much time has passed, or maybe we do, second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So he's still in his late teens. Mm-hmm. How does he get to walk right in there and not be put to death?
He had received favor because he had excelled.
Okay, so yes. Back to what was happening in his life and witness and honoring God in every area of his life. Nebuchadnezzar goes, I recognize you. It's not in the text, but that's what he said probably.
Yeah.
I recognize you, right? Give me time. Give me time. What's the key word, Nicole?
Trust. Again.
Had he been given the gift of prophecy at that time? It said he was given visions and dreams.
Interpretation. Mm-hmm.
But did he know that God was going to tell him the meaning of this? He didn't even know what the dream was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
He knew the one who knew the dream.
Right.
Okay, so he knew the one who knew the dream.
Yeah.
Verse 19, Gladys, mm-hmm. Same chapter 2.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the Lord God of heaven.
Key takeaway. What's the lesson? Yes, Travis?
Prayer, because he said then.
Okay.
Meaning something happened before that.
Okay.
Yes.
He prayed.
All right. So prayer is key, Stephanie.
And he blessed the Lord.
Yes.
I know that this is the dream and the interpretation. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go tell him. Tell the king.
The king.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Arioch later comes in and says, I found somebody. Whereas Daniel is like, thank you, God.
Yeah.
And by the way, later we'll see Daniel is always deflecting any praise to God. There's a God in heaven, right?
Yes.
Arioch is like, I found someone.
Yes. You know?
We'll get a bonus, you know? And Daniel's blessing the God of heaven.
Yes.
I'd love someone to read the prayer. In verses 20 to 23, my wife wanted me to memorize this, so she put it to music because it's just a beautiful prayer. And who'd read that? Reid, would you read it for us? Verses 20 to 23. How does Daniel respond? By the way, just think about this. He has no idea that he really knows what the dream is except by trusting
God.
Because he hadn't gone to the king yet.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
The king hasn't said, that's it. Okay. So it's totally trusting in God.
Yes.
That's the key word that's coming out in this study, right?
Yeah. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And he said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, acknowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness. Though he is surrounded by light, I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of you and revealed to us what the king demanded.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So before he even goes in, he's having a praise service.
Yes.
He has no idea. Well, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he knows the one who knows the dream.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not been tested yet.
Right.
Yes.
We're coming in now, Marcus, to verse 24 through 28. And we could, this chapter 2 is an amazing time prophecy, isn't it? I wish we had time we'll have to do a whole series on the prophecies of Daniel. Mm-hmm. But we're just looking at his life and what's the lesson we learned. Key lesson, he's been honored by God, placed in a position of influence, but he doesn't forget who deserves all of the honor.
Amen.
I'll be reading from the King James Version, Daniel 2, verse 24. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these.
And he begins to tell the dream. And I imagine the king going, that's it.
Yes.
And then Daniel says, I'm not only going to tell you the dream that you had.
I'm going to tell you the interpretation.
I'm going to tell you what it means.
Yes.
What do you hear there? We're talking about lessons from Daniel's life that will help us to prepare for the end time. What are you hearing from Daniel chapter 2? Travis?
If you kneel before God, you can stand before kings. Yes.
That's a profound statement, which I've heard before. Maybe not original with Travis, right?
No, it's not.
If you kneel before God, you can stand before kings. Okay? Jesus said something else. He said, if you're connected to me, when you stand before the tribunal, you won't even need to think about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words. Right? All right. What else do you learn from this story?
He doesn't take credit for himself. You know, he directs the king to God. He said, all these men that you had around you, they don't know. Only God knows. And he directs the king himself to God.
So. I wish we had time to take a lot of time with Daniel chapter 2. It's one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. I have met people who were atheists and didn't believe in the Bible at all, who just studying Daniel chapter 2 became believers in the God of heaven.
Wow.
That's how powerful that chapter is.
Yes.
Because we discover, even from last study, that God, he knows the end from the beginning. So he can reveal to the prophets both what is to come and what's happened in the past. But we have to move to Daniel chapter 3. There's so much in this amazing book. What's happening in Daniel chapter 3, Jason?
So this story, you have Nebuchadnezzar, he thinks about the dream. And in the dream, he was the head of gold. So he decides, well, I'm going to build a statue all of gold to represent myself, almost an idea that maybe he can live forever. So he sets this statue up, and then he requires that everyone, or basically everyone, come and worship. And he has this big ceremony where there's a series of forced worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on to the forced worship idea. I have a question for you before we read verses 7 to 18. Where's Daniel?
He must not be there.
It's not in this picture.
Maybe in another part of the kingdom.
He's been sent away. Right.
I thought they called all of the people. Didn't they call all of the people to come? Some historians have suggested there was an uprising in part of the kingdom of Babylon, and they were all called to demonstrate their allegiance to the king, and that this was a sign. But to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are their Babylonian names, this was more than just whether they were faithful to the king or not, right?
Right.
What was the problem?
They worship God.
Worship idols.
They were not to worship
God. God tell them not to worship idols, right?
Yes.
And this was an idol of the king.
Yes. Right.
So we pick up the story in verse 7 of Daniel chapter 3. And Laurel, if you'd read that for us, down through verse 18, let's see how the story unfolds.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Daniel 3, 7 through 18. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. For this reason, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the moment, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace, a blazing fire. What God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up."
So what's the answer to the question, what God is there, Nebuchadnezzar says, that can deliver you out of my hand? What's the answer?
God of heaven.
God of heaven.
God of heaven.
What impresses you about these three young men, and there's this death decree, what impresses you about this story? Yes, Gladys.
I think anybody can be faithful when everything goes well. Mm-hmm. And their faith is so strong that not only they say, "We know that God is going to take care of us." Yes, I'm sure. But my favorite part is when he said, "Even if he doesn't, we will not kneel before your image."
And we might add in parenthesis, even if he doesn't the way that we're expecting.
Yes.
Right? Because
yes.
he will deliver, right?
Yes.
Right. He ultimately will.
Right.
Travis?
I like the fact that they don't hesitate.
Yes.
It's like, what are you talking about? I don't need time or anything. No, our decision is firm.
Yeah. I want to come back, Lisa, to something we talked about earlier. Why does Nebuchadnezzar even give them a second chance?
Because he saw the favor that was on their lives. I mean, they were 10 times wiser than all the people that they were. But I think what's really interesting is that how quick he turned against them. And had they put their trust in the king, then they would have been disappointed. But clearly they trusted in God all along. So they knew that God was in charge. God was in control of the situation. Mm-hmm. And they were able to stand firm for that.
So the favor was enough to give them another chance, but not enough to have it set aside. They've still got to trust fully in God. Well, some people may not know the end of the story, Stephanie. We've got to, here they are. They're not going to bow down. So Nebuchadnezzar doesn't say, "Well, let's just forget it. Have a great day." Right? Let's pick up the rest of the story. And then I want to ask, what's the lesson? We're going to go to Revelation 13. Okay? Mm-hmm. Daniel chapter 3, 19 to 25.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, and their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Yeah. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Now, before we look at the lesson, I want someone to read Revelation 13, verses 11 to 15. We're going to draw a lesson from this narrative, but I'd like someone to read Revelation. Jason, do you have it? Chapter 11, oh, 13, excuse me, verses 11 to 15. Because these stories help us prepare for the end time. Mm-hmm. Here's a death decree. Bow down to the image or die. Mm-hmm. And we know the key word from the story of Daniel, but let's see what we learn in Revelation 13.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 15 say, Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Mm.
Yes. So this is an interesting union of political and religious power mm-hmm. that's forcing worship that's contrary to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the threat is the same as in Daniel chapter 3.
Mm. Death penalty.
Death. Mm-hmm. Bow down.
Or die.
Or die. Mm-hmm. So what is the important lesson that we can learn? Daniel's missing. I don't know if he was sick or I don't know. I don't know why he's not there. But we'll all face a test, won't we?
Yes. Yes.
You know, he faces a test. There's no Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the lion's den.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just Daniel there at that time.
That's right.
So we're all going to face the test. What lesson, Ray, are you drawing from this story?
What I like especially in this chapter is that before in chapter 1, you see Daniel is kind of like the leader. He goes and says, hey, the food. Here, he's not in this chapter, but I like how these guys stand up for themselves. Mm-hmm. Their faith did not depend on Daniel.
Okay. Right.
So their faith was unique, and you know, they're like, you know, we also trust God. We want to be faithful to Him. And so let me know that my faith cannot depend on my friend, my father, my mother, my pastor. It should be between me and God. And that's something that I really like about this chapter, that their faith stands out, that they were their own person.
Okay. Yes, Lisa?
Also, like, going back to the beginning when we started and we talked about the food, we thought, oh, wow, that's a small thing. Like, who cares? Just eat it. But, you know, it's a small test that prepares for the big test. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're not able to trust God for something as small as making a change in your life, then how will you be able to stand before kings and powers and principalities? So God takes steps with us, and we hope that we can grow into that faith.
Yeah. You know, there were many captives that were taken into Babylon besides mm-hmm. those four.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
And yet in Daniel 3,
they all bow down.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Lisa's point is really important. Those small decisions versus small compromises, mm-hmm. they set us on a trajectory, don't they? On a course.
Yeah.
Either closer to God, honoring God, or farther away from Him.
Right.
Yes, Marcus.
King Nebuchadnezzar also recognized the Son of God, even though he was not a believer, which tells me that even every eye that will see him when he does return will know that it is him, even if they do not believe. Mm-hmm. So how did he know that that was the Son of God walking in the midst of them?
Some have suggested the translation is Son of the Gods, mm-hmm. but either way, he recognized deity there, right? Yeah. There was something going on that was supernatural. By the way, what happened to the guards that cast them in?
They died.
Superheated air. They die trying to execute God's faithful servants.
Yes.
Alyssa?
As a lot of people think about Revelation, it's frightening, and people think, like, whoever lives through this experience, how will they stand up through it? But I love how you drew Daniel and Revelation together, and you said, God's people have been tested before, mm-hmm. and he didn't fail them then. And we can look to the future knowing there will be hardships, mm-hmm. but knowing that God will be with us in the midst of them yes. as he showed up big that day for them.
Yes. Got to go on to Daniel 4. Yeah. But, you know, the ideal is because of our trust relationship with God, when we face the big test, we will say, I don't know how you're going to do this, God, but it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
Amen. And I'll step forward, right? Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Determined because we've chosen to honor him in every aspect of life. Yes. Well, Daniel 4, it's interesting because it doesn't, the key person is not Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The key person in Daniel chapter 4 is
Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm. And Nebuchadnezzar has he has a similar problem to
Lucifer.
To who?
Lucifer.
To Lucifer. That's right. I will. Is not this done. Great Babylon that I have built. Mm-hmm. And God has to teach him that it's not all about him.
Yeah. Mm.
I want you to look at a confession at the end of chapter 3 and a confession at the end of chapter 4 because I think it's important for us. Like Ray said earlier, I've got to move from knowing about God to this is my confession, right? Mm-hmm. Right. This is my faith declaration. Mm-hmm. Somebody read Daniel chapter 3. Eric, could you read verses 28 to 30?
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath set his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I have made a decree, that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Back to what you said, Lisa, about God honoring people who determined to honor him, right? Mm. Yes. But there's that confession. What's different, Nicole, with chapter 4? Let's look in chapter 4, verse 37. Is it just the same, or is there something different there?
So the New International Version of Daniel 4:37 says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, mm-hmm. and all his ways are just. Mm-hmm. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
The last one.
Anybody?
Was,
yes.
The last one was experience. Yeah. The other one, he was looking at it was like, wow. He was like in a state of amazement, mm-hmm. but this one was from experience.
Well, he experienced. We're getting there. He experienced both of those events, mm-hmm. but there's something about the confession, Jason. Mm-hmm. What is it? What's the distinction? Anybody else? Christine.
So he acknowledged that he was full of pride.
Okay, he acknowledged he was full of pride. Travis?
You'd made a decree that everybody else should praise and honor God. He says, now I.
Okay. Ah. Everyone else should, and if not, they'll be cut in pieces and dunghill houses. But this one, I make my confession, right? I praise. Do you think we're going to see King Nebuchadnezzar in the kingdom?
Amen.
Amen. No.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
we
could hear some pretty amazing stories like what he was thinking about Daniel chapter 3 with the fiery furnace. Mm-hmm. But I've been saving because we've only got a few minutes left in our study today. We're talking about Daniel and the end time. There's one last story in Daniel chapter 6. It's probably one of the stories that if you grew up in a Christian home, you heard it.
Yes.
It's the story of Daniel and
the lion's den.
And the lion's den. These were hunting lions, probably. chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Jason, would you read that story for us? And the word that I hear coming back over and over again is, will we trust God completely?
Yes. Amen.
By the way, if I think we will, if we do, he'll honor us.
Amen.
He'll put us in places of influence, mm-hmm. leadership. Because he knows we can handle it, right?
Yes, right.
Let's see how the story unfolds. Daniel 6, 1 to 5.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Mm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God."
Mm. Now, what's strange about this story? It's a brand new government, right? Mm-hmm. Babylon's gone. Mm-hmm. You've got Medo-Persia coming in. What looks strange with this picture?
One, Daniel is back into leadership
again. That's exactly right. You know, he's a prisoner of war who's put in a position of leadership in Babylon. Mm-hmm. And now he's put in a position of leadership in the new kingdom. Mm-hmm. In fact, he distinguished himself. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's strange. Mm-hmm. There's only one explanation, right? What's the explanation?
God's favor.
What does it say in the...
Mm-hmm. God.
Darius recognized, or Darius as I always called him growing up, he recognized that there was a different spirit. Now we know that that's the spirit of God, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. There was something special about him. What challenge is there for us when you think about the description that they had of Daniel, when they carefully investigated? How does that challenge you, Lisa?
I think sometimes it's so that the other side of that is when you're favored by God, not everyone is happy. They're probably jealous of him and they wondered, you know, why not us? And we've been with you for a long time. And so they tried to undermine his favor. But we know this is God's favor and you can't take that away from him.
Right. Someone came to me just recently and said, you know, even being on Hope Sabbath School is a big responsibility.
Yes.
Because people... they see you and they go, "Oh, Hope Sabbath School," and they're watching you. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yes.
Now we're not trying to save ourselves, but they were watching Daniel, and what did they find?
No fault.
That's a testimony, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Listen, we will find nothing against him except for his relationship with God. Oh. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Yes.
So they hatch a plan. Just got a couple of minutes left. They hatch a plan. They said, we know what we'll do. He prays regularly to the God of heaven. We'll hatch a plan that nobody can do that for 30 days. And we'll trap him. And we'll have a penalty attached to it. Not a fiery furnace this time, but
lions.
Verse 10. Travis, if you could read chapter 6, verse 10. Let's see how Daniel responds to that.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days."
I don't know if you've heard that many times in a children's story, but what impacts you as you read that verse again?
I think the point is that he wasn't doing it as rebellion. He just did what he was used to doing and that communion with God. Mm-hmm. So he went back and did just as he had done previously.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're almost out of time, but I got to finish the story. I'm not going to have you read it. Darius is distressed, but it's been written.
Yeah.
As Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, may your God... deliver you.
Yes.
Comes back the next morning, can't sleep. What's the question he asks?
Has God delivered you?
Has the God whom you serve continually? Yes.
Deliver you.
And how does Daniel respond?
He has sent his angel.
My God.
Oh, yeah. Okay, live forever.
Yes.
My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. And if you think that those lions just didn't feel like eating, You know what happens in the end of the story. King gets really upset now for those who try to get rid of one of his best leaders. And he throws them into the lion's den and says, you take your turn in there. And what happens?
They die.
They didn't even hit the bottom.
They don't even make it to the floor. You know, there's a tragic lesson there because their family's thrown in with them, you know. There's a tragic lesson.
Yes, true.
The way that we respond to the call of God,
it'll affect us.
It doesn't just affect us.
Right.
It affects those that are closest to us, doesn't it?
Yes.
So we've read some ancient stories, Nicole. 500 years, almost 600 years before Jesus comes. What have those got to do? What's the takeaway lesson that you hear? For as we prepare, maybe for death decrees and, and persecution and having to stand, it might seem, alone. Say, I'm going to stand for God. What's the takeaway?
If I completely trust in God, he will honor and deliver me. If it may not be on this earth, but he will deliver me one day.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you with Nicole on that? Mm-hmm. He will deliver us.
Yes.
Maybe you're going through something in your life and you say, I think I'm in the lion's den now. Or I think I'm standing and being forced to bow down at work before some pagan image. If you determine in your heart to trust God fully, to honor him no matter what, he will deliver you. I don't know how that will happen. He delivered John the Baptist, even though John lost his head. He'll be part of the kingdom and honored there. God will honor you as you determine in your heart to honor him. If you kneel before God, you can stand before kings or enemies unafraid. God is with you. Let's pray we can have that trust in God, that abiding faith in him. Father in heaven, thank you for the powerful lessons we've learned today from the life of Daniel and his friends. And God, we know it's not just about ancient stories, but about our lives today. May we determine to trust you completely with every aspect of our lives and honor you in all things because of your great love for us, we pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. I've been inspired today from those ancient stories to determined to honor God in all things. And God knows it's going to impact those I love. It will. May the blessings of your decision bless the lives of those around you.